You see, the dogs, how they are exposed to the forces, that they cannot withstand it. They cannot overcome that. They are absolutely, that's more than hunger and anything. You see, that's a matter of the soul. And this soul is connected with the genital organs. And that's what we call sexual organization or organs or whatever. That the soul is in a certain way connected with the genital organs, more than with any other organs. And that this comes into the consciousness. Anyway, sex is another thing in the animals than in the human, because it is absolutely dominated by this problem of surviving in animals. Absolutely. They do that, and they do that as eating. And when you would ask an animal, what of course is difficult to do, but you would do that, they would say, why is there a difference between sex and eating? It's the same. When I would not eat, I would die. And when there would not be this type of copulation, there would not be puppies or whatever it is. It's obvious, and there is no difference between it. We need it, and we do it, and so that's the problem. Everything what the animals do is on the level of the soul, and that is belongs to the life and to this, not in man. And that makes the problem, because it comes in our consciousness, and we do not use it just to survive. Just in contrast to this, we want to do it without producing new life. That makes the problem. And that for animals is not existing, this problem. So in a certain way you can even say, yeah, sex is not existing in animals if what they do is just using the reproduction. And for men that has an other importance. And that has to do with the problem that our soul is different from the soul of an animal. And there was an influence which we cannot touch today, this problem. There was an influence in the evolution which made that this, our soul, which is on a level higher of the life, that was combined with the life. Or that our soul is more connected with the genital organs than with other organs. We have a consciousness of our genital organs. What happens there? We don't have a consciousness of the liver. Liver, that doesn't save us. We have to give us a certain feeling, of course, but we don't have this specific consciousness which comes from the combination or the contact of our soul with the genital organs. And this did happen once in the evolution. And that is called the sin or the Sündenfall. Wie sagt man?
Original sin.
And that the people felt this. That this is a little bit too deep. It should not be so deep. And that it is so deep, that was just the great, the original sin. And even this is a matter we will come in the one of the last lectures, we will come back to this. That was not a thing which happened once long, long, long ago, so forget about it. No, even this happens when the child comes to puberty. Then the same thing happens. Again, as a law, what you can see, the evolution, the development of the child is a repeating of the evolution of the mankind. All this happens. As I said it, we are created without the differentiation male-female. and later it comes, and so all this we will see. Now, but to come along with our topic, we will see how that goes ahead. Now we are finally on the way that we have the first cell. And now starts it, and now that is what we can see, and why we need this long preparation, that we understand what now happens. I said it. The first is the shrinking of the cell. And you know the fertilization happens not in the uterus, it happens in the fallopian tube. There happens the fertilization. That means very, very deep inside. And you see, this interiorization happens just in men, most. He is very interiorized, that he takes everything, the whole nature, the whole world, the man has inside, more than the animals, and even just in contrast to the plants, which have everything outside. So, and that happens, and now, when the fertilization did happen, we know the first about 20, 30 hours, nothing happens. The first 20, 30 hour, nothing happens. But, of course, nothing happens is just that we don't see what happens. We can see, and we know that it is not so that nothing happens. What happens? The size shrinks a little bit in this time, and especially the nucleus gets bigger and bigger in these 20, 30 hours. The nucleus gets bigger. Why? That's what we saw. What is the female, the egg cell? That is the biggest cell, and more or less without nucleus. It's not right, it has a nucleus. But it's so small that what is lacking is the nucleus, and the nucleus is growing. And therefore we need this time of 20, 30 hours. And the cell is not growing. It's even shrinking a little bit, but not very much. And it is interesting that is well done by the nature, that we have this, what one can have in mind, how big it is. But I have a bad memory for numbers and so. The diameter of the first egg cell is just 1/10 millimeter. That is the diameter. So that is just, you can see it by your eyes. And that lasts about, as I said it, swelling of the nucleus lasts about 20 to 30 hours. And then the diameter of 1/10 millimeter lasts 1 week. So there is no growing in the first week. Absolutely no growing. So we would think now there comes the separation and the division and so all this. No, that is not growing. You see, growing does not say getting bigger. That was typical for the dead world, for the crystals, for the minerals. They get bigger when they grow, in quotation marks. So, but now you see, this egg goes from the fallopian tube into the uterus. And now there happens the nidation. You say nidation? Nidation. The nidation. And this nidation happens about between the 6th and the 10th day. That it is fixed in the uterus. And 10 days after the nidation, the diameter is 10 times bigger. That means the diameter first was 1/10 millimeter, 10 times more is just 1 millimeter diameter. 10 days after the nidation. And 20 days later, It is 100 times bigger. That means 10 millimeter. So it's wonderful to have this. After 10 days, you have 1 millimeter. After 20 days, you have 10 millimeter. And that means that you have now something. Now it starts growing. And even that does not mean that there is no division. You see, the first division here, you say division? Or the first division happens about 30 or 50 hours after the fertilization. There's the first division. So it's a long, long time without division. 2 days about. After the fertilization, it starts not growing, it starts not dividing, it's a part to be quiet. Why quiet? Exactly what we tried to find out. It must go into a state of chaos, that it is open for the forces. That is the first. To prepare, to opening the substance, to accept the forces. And then after this state of relaxation or what how do you call quietness or so, after that, about 2 days after the fertilization, the first division. And now it starts rapidly, immediately. Some hours after the first division, you have the second. And after the second, immediately the third. And immediately the fourth. And now it's like an explosion. And now, even there, you have when you have the ratio between plasma and nucleus, you see the nucleus grow more than the plasma. Again, what we saw, the egg cell is too big. The nucleus must grow, and in the ratio is different, and you have more the nucleus grow more than the plasma. And on the third day, you have even 16 cells. And then you have the morula. That's what we found, this morula. That means this state, which you know this. That's the morula, the mulberry. That is the stage which even you can find and has been found even in human development. This state indeed happens. So about 16 cells on the third day. But 16, that even means that it goes not this way as we tried to describe it the first day. You have one cell, from the one you have two cells, after two you have four, eight, 16, 32, not like that. That finishes when you have 16 cells. This reduplication finishes about with 16 cells. And even 1 day later, on the fourth day, you have 60 to 100 cells. The fourth day. And the growing is just not so big that you see the cells themselves get smaller and smaller and smaller. Because it must be reduced as if the egg cell was too big. So the cells themselves get smaller and smaller and smaller. And finally, you have these 100 cells on the fourth day. And now starts another problem. But you see here the morula, and then you have even in the human development, you have the blastula, which is about that, what you know, that you have more the cells outside, and inside you have just a hole. And now you see differentiation, why we did need that. How is this hole made? This hole is made that the cells go outside. There is no entrance. What does it mean? That is not the gastrula. That is the same as you have it in the plants, when you have a stem which is hollow, when you have a hollow in the stem, that is not made from outside, that is made from inside. And I don't know what you did learn in in embryology. I still was trained that after this, what happens as the next step, of course, the invagination. And that is that the people found that indeed, in this example, what you can study best and what is was von Baer, this man, he did all the studies with sea urchins. And there you can observe it very, very good. And so, in the sea urge, there comes the gastrulation. And this you can even see in egg cells of a hen. When you see a chicken, how it's going, then you see this. And so it was said, of course, it's the same in the human development. And you find this in most books of embryology today. Blastula, gastrula. And in the human development, you do not find this. Even if you find it in the books of embryology. This has been found out by Blechschmidt. I think most of his books are, part of them are translated. They are available in English. And some of them he did write just the atlas, the chart. The first edition even was English and German in Springer Verlag, New York. And there he was in an extremely lucky position. He had a man during the war. He was working in Göttingen, and during the war he made observations, and it was just a good luck that he could find in some accidents and other where they make curettage, when the women even did not know that they are pregnant and. It's just in the very first beginning of the development. So he found three or four of these cases and could observe them and found that just until this time it was not known. And he found by a good luck cases where he could see in the human development there is no gastrulation. It was shocking in this time, and he had an excellent preparator in his institute, and he made the modelings. That was just during the war. They had the time. It was just a good luck for him that he could do that. And he made this modeling, this man in his institute, and he made a lot of a big hall full of all this from the very first beginning until to the end. And you know, always the same problem, you find it in the Bible. The prophet in his own country is of no good, or something like that. Is not honored. And so, after the war, he did publish, and they said, this is a strange thing. He says things which is not generally accepted. So forget about it. But not in his country. The Americans came, saw this, and immediately they took it, and now you can see all this in the Carnegie Hall in New York. And in Germany, you see now a copy of this. That is how it works. Yeah. But they detected that he found the things we were looking since years. He found them. Because it's very seldom that you get just a human egg in this state. So In case, I don't know, in a Carnegie, but I don't know whether it's in Carnegie Institute in New York or Washington or Philadelphia or
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. There, they bought this, and then you have the occasion to see that. I saw it in Germany, and indeed it is fascinating when you see that, and that is so skillfully done, all this, that you indeed, that's the best thing you can observe. Otherwise, in the books, you have only the slides and the slices, and that is not, then you must do it by the, and here you can indeed see it, all in the same size. So that is excellent as a material to study this. Now, anyway, he found this out, and he came by this invention, that he said, there is obviously a difference between the animals and the men. And he came to the conclusion, the provenience of men is different than from animal, just by his observations. He's not an anthropologist, not at all. He's Catholic, but I don't know whether he goes to church or he pays taxes or so, that I don't know. But anyway, he is not anthropologist. He came only by the observation. He came to this that he said, and which is very often quoted in all these discussions. Is it allowed to make an abortion? When starts the life? Oh, and all these awful discussions. When starts the life on earth? Oh, it is best to be desperate when you hear all these discussions, because they are without any reality. It starts in the third month, or with the conception, or with the fertilization, or with the birth, or all this, and between any time, and it is allowed in the first weeks, or until all this. Finally, he said one word which, from his point of view, is of course is right. Man does not start. He is man from the very first beginning. So, conclusion of this, what he said it, and he was now accepted more or less, that he said, any time you make an abortion, you kill a human being. It's stupid to say the first 3 months are different or so. All this, that is not. It is. We are not beginning, we are existing. And so from the very first beginning, of course he does not say where the life comes from, he does not say where the soul comes from, he does not differentiate between soul and spirit and all this. One cannot expect it. He only came to the conclusion by his observations that it is not so that we pass through the animality, and to the animality there comes something which makes us just an intelligent animal. And all this, what you have, just as everybody knows this book, Man the Naked Ape. I think, you know, pardon? Yeah, everybody, it is translated in any language, and it is awful, this book. It's awful, because just that denies anything of the human being. It's only the intelligence, and that is awful. And it is so, that is the merit of Blechschmidt, that he found just by pure observation in the history of the development, you see a difference between the animals and the humans. So the human being cannot come from an animal. That he found only by these observations of the embryology.
Has it been reaffirmed, this finding?
No, they did fight against him, but they were just arguing. Because he said something which was not in the general concept. But there has never, nobody found effect against him. That was during the war. In the meantime, there has been many samples found which show the same. So he is now accepted, and he is right in this way. But it was just, he was the first who found them, these samples. But in the meantime, I can say, there in the world about, as far as I remember, there's about 80 samples which show the same. But in the past, Bear, who created all this, cannot be blamed, because there was not sample from the human. So that he thought it is in all animals the same, so it will be the same in human too. But it did not enter the textbooks of embryology, and that is the problem. Because it is against any concept of Darwinism and all this. And so it is not accepted in the textbooks, but you can find it in the literature. And I can quote you, if you are interested in it, tomorrow the literature, or I can call you all this, I have it with me, that I can show you in the meantime, that means between 1940 or so, in the last 40 years, as far as I remember, now there are about 80 samples known, and all they say the same. The difference is, most people, scientific researchers, they describe it, and they do not say what it means. But he described and he made an interpretation what it means, that there is a difference. And because they don't stick at this thing, because they say, yeah, just relation, you have it in man too. You have it, but not as a first step. Of course there is a gastrulation. And I see, when we have the mouth, we have the brain, we have all the cavities, we have like the animals, but that is not the first step. And the decisive is to see the importance. What means gastrulation? And what means the other thing, which I will try to describe now, or maybe, I don't know whether we have the time. Today, otherwise tomorrow, we will see what it means. What is the meaning of this? And that is why we needed this. What means gastrulation? Means the invagination, that means the astral body, the astrality is working in the organism. And that is just the first. And that is not the first in the human development. In the human development, you have a different. And I will, now I'm always confronted with this problem that my drawing is very, very poor. You know that. But I will try to do it. And that in the sea urge, you have now then the gastrulation. That is the second step. So, morula, blastula, gastrula. That's the sea urge. That is even in the chicken, and so you can see that. But in men, you have, of course, the blastula. It looks a little bit different, but that is not so in the principle. You have more cells on the one side. So, some more cells, but it is just a blastula. Oh, it belongs here. That is the same. And in the end of the first week, it looks about like that. That you have here the cells round here, and about like that. So, these are here, you have the cells, and some more cells on the one part. And so you see now another step. So you remember, when you have a hole inside, that is an expression of the etheric forces, as the as you have it in the plants. As an expression of the astralic forces, it's only when it comes from outside. the gas relation. That is typical for astralic forces. And now you see as the next step you see the following. I think you know all this from the books. You have this layer outside here. It is of course round, and this hollow here is made not from outside, it's made from inside. You see that? And that is the blastocell or exocell. It's just a name. And now starts another hole here inside, and that is the amnion. You see? And the decisive is that you have here all is working inside. There is not such a gas that it comes later, of course. But now in the first step you have this. And the future happens of the embryo. What will be the future the embryo? That is just this part, a very small part here, this one. That is, in the future, the embryo. And now you can see, that is called here, that is in the next step, this is called the embryonic disc. And that is, in the future, that is the embryo. But it is later, you can have it about like that. You have this here. And there you have the embryonic disc, and here you have the amnion. So that is here a sheet. It is just straight on, and you see that is different. That is not this invagination which you have in the beginning. You have just this development here from the embryonic disc, exposed to two. Holes which are filled with liquid, which is of course completely different. But you see here, this embryonal disc is just as a layer, as a leaf between them. And that is just, and here happens a development which is very interesting, and which Blechschmidt describes in a way which is, he cannot use another expression. It's growing in one part, and then you see from here it is moving, and it is a shape about like that, happens after a certain time. And he even describes it. It is something like a force of erection which starts here. I repeat, he is not an anthroposophist. He does not know what means erection. But he describes it is something as it would be an organic erection here. He doesn't know what it means. But he describes it in this way. And here you see now a difference. And this here, what you see, this yolk sac, which supplies the organism with nutrition. And of course, this all is just, that's an egg. But you have different types of egg. And can you remember I said this interiorization that happens from step to step over the fishes and so. And in the birds, in the where the development happens outside, of course the egg must be full of nutrition. That's obvious. But here, in the higher animals and in men, where everything happens inside, we do not need this storage of food, or this supplying of food. And so we decide two types of eggs. the yolk rich eggs and the yolk poor eggs. And of course, the eggs of the birds are rich, of course. They are very rich, and that's why we use it as food. And that contains this yolk. And of course, just the human egg is very poor. It is extremely poor. While the animals, birds, while the birds are rich, and not only the birds, just all the like the snakes and the lizard, lurche, legs, no. Reptiles. Reptiles. They have eggs too, and so of course they have rich yolk eggs. But the decisive, when you see this yolk, and we use the yolk for nutrition, this contains a substance which is very interesting. We call this yolk, this yolk is just a popular expression. The scientific expression for yolk is lecit. Lecit. What means lecit? You know the name lecit from? Lecithin. Lecithin. The name lecithin comes from this because the first first time it has been found in the yolk. And what is lecithin? We speak a lot of lecithin. It's live and all this. But where are we? Where do we need it for? Pardon? In the brain we have it too, sure. What we have in the yolk? What has? The cell membrane. The cell membrane. In the brain, in the yolk. What is the coming of all this? To understand what is the meaning of the substance, that's one way, as I described, to see where it comes from. Sure. It comes from the yolk. You have it in the membrane of the cells. You have it in the brain. What common is it? Now, that is one thing you can say where it comes from. But the other way is, what is the specific characterization of this? What can this do, the substance, which other substances cannot do, like magnesium? You ignite the magnesium and what comes out is light, in opposition to any other metal. So what is the decisive characterization of the lecithin? Where do you know it for? It opens up. You are right, but how can you describe that? What is the decisive, where can you use it for? Any housewife knows it. Where are you using the yolk for?
To mix oil and water.
What is lecithin? It is an emulsifier. You can mix oil and water. Because oil and water you cannot mix. And therefore you need an emulsifier. And the natural emulsifier is just lecithin. But what does it mean? Why do you have the yolk, the lecithin just in the yolk? Why should there be mixed oil and water? Now, what is the being of oil? What is the being of water? Water is obvious. We need water for life. No doubt about it. No growing without water. I think that is not to explain. Water we need for life. But water alone is nothing. You must organize the water. The water must be organized. You must breathe the formative forces into the water. And where are the formative forces coming from? Now, from the cosmos, from outside. These are light forces. You have oil, you have fat in the yolk or in the egg. When you eat an egg, you must be aware that you have about 12% fat. It's not protein. It's nowhere in the nature you have pure protein. Nowhere. You always have a combination of protein and fat and carbohydrates. So all this you can find in the egg. But what is it being? You have more carbohydrates, very little. But you have fat. And this fat must be mixed with the water. Why? Because you don't want to have, just when you have a chicken, you don't want to have water. You need a living organism. And this water must be organized. Therefore, you need forces which enter the water. And the fat, what is fat? Any oil is expression of cosmic forces. Concentrated cosmic forces, that's oil. That's, in former time, everybody knew that. Until maybe 200 years ago. What did everybody, any child, you would have asked any child, until 200 years ago, what is oil? Ha. In the evening, what happens in the evening? It's dark. And when you want to have a light, since eldest time, since millennia, the people had oil to produce light. And that they used. They had anywhere, whatever it was, they had oil to produce light. The lamps was fed with oil, fed with oil. So oil is a concentrated light. Concentrated, you know, fat contains 9.1 calories and proteins and sugar contain 4.1 calories. So oil is just concentrated light, concentrated cosmic forces. That was the reason why in the past when a king was introduced to be king, he was anointed. And that you can, he was not ensugared. No. He was anointed. Therefore, they needed an ointment, a fat, and not a protein. Because that he should be opened for the cosmos, to accept the cosmic forces. But the problem now for the egg is that the cosmic forces should be introduced into the water. And therefore, you need an emulsifier. And this natural emulsifier is just the lecithin. You see how that works. And how we are when we avoid the lecithin, or I say, it's dangerous to eat it or not to eat it, or all this, and cholesterol and all this. That is, cholesterol is the same, it's an emulsifier. That means it opens the water for the higher forces. And so that the higher forces can come into the yolk, into the water, and that the embryo can grow by these forces. Water is existing, but it must be penetrated by the higher forces. That means by the cosmic forces, or in other words, by the light forces. And they are concentrated inside. Or you can even say it, it is accepted, the light, by the lecithin. And by this it comes inside. Now, and why do we have celestine in the water? That the cosmic forces can enter the cells. They can come into the cells. What did I say? How the etheric forces enter the earth? By the surfaces. You remember this? Plant, surface, surface, surface. And there you have, in the walls, there you have the lecithin. Why do we have the lecithin in the brain? What is the brain? When you see the brain from the point of chemistry, what is the brain? Fat. But not just fat. It's a lipoid. That means it is just similar to fat. It is a very active fat on the one side, and on the other side a very rigid fat. The highest fatty acid you have in the brain. C24. Cerebronic acid. This you have in the brain. This is the most hardened fat on the one side. And on the other side, you have a very activity. Just to listen, what does it do? Except the cosmic forces. When we are thinking, we are handling cosmic forces. Thinking means working with the thoughts. Break the thoughts. Handling it, combining it, and therefore we need an access to this. And that again is lecithin. So, yeah, we have to stop now.